CliffCentral.com.
Okay, are we ready for the weekend? Because it's coming at you, whether you like it or not.
It's a long weekend.
Long weekend.
Oh, of course. It's the heritage throwdown, isn't it?
Yeah, when do you leave for Rome?
Tuesday night.
Oh, so you go straight from a holiday into a trip.
Guys, it's such a blessed time. So the way I can describe this.
That's awesome.
I love it for you.
Yeah.
Good.
So obviously I'll do the show from Rome next week.
Bloody fantastic.
Be crossing over, beaming with enthusiasm to give you all you need.
And it's apparently it's just fantastic in the Mediterranean at the moment. Fantastic. All right, so let's get into it. A couple of things. Simpiwe first wants to tell us about what was Groove 101, etiquette. Groove etiquette. Right, what do we got here?
I mean, it's the long weekend. And we are in silly season, groove season. So I just thought
Is that what we're calling it, officially groove season?
Yeah, it is.
Love it.
And when did this term come back?
She brought it back. So Pia is powerful enough to do this all on her own.
Like,
she's an influencer, for fuck's sake, Ben.
It's groove season, and I just want us to groove correctly this year.
Okay, what are the rules?
So rule number one.
Before you get started, I need to take a photo of this and put it on Instagram. You have talking points. Like, you're the most prepared. Like, you're a professional. She's not just an influencer.
No, she doesn't just pitch up and, like, do nothing. She's got shit to talk about.
Yes. And this is important. Things, okay. Especially since this is a long weekend, right? Number one, we're keeping conversations to an all-time minimum. We're not here to talk about, oh, I hate work and I hate what I do. No, no, no. We'll have those conversations.
Stop moaning, especially.
Yes. Next week, during the week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number two, drink responsibly. Oh. Okay? Getting
public service announcement.
That's very important, you know. Gone are those days where you're getting white girl wasted. We're done.
White girl wasted.
We are done with that. Okay? We are over with that. We're not doing that. The only thing we're gonna talk about now and again is the next round of drinks, but we are drinking responsibly. That's very, very important.
And most importantly, don't drive.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes. Don't
I mean, if you do get wasted and you fall asleep in the bushes, you're not hurting anyone else. But don't drive.
Please.
That's all.
The next thing is dress accordingly. The sun's out. Yes. It's hot.
Yes.
Why are you wearing sweats at a groove spot? Yeah. No. And ladies and gentlemen, this is just a personal one. No Crocs. I'm not trying to see Crocs anywhere. Keep that at home. Wear that when you're doing shopping. Not when we yabba.
Even shopping. Where's your pride?
Even if you're a doctor, and I know that they have it because it's like this airflow and it's a lot of stuff. Even if you're a doctor, where's your pride?
Yeah. And last but not least, this is South Africa. So if your phone gets stolen, go home immediately because you're just going to ruin the vibe for everyone else. You're going to be stressed.
Good point. No one ever addresses this problem.
You're going to just want to cry. And the reality is, I'm not there. Ben, if your phone goes, I still want to party. I still want to have a good night. So
and
go
and
home.
You're entitled to.
Go home.
Yes.
Go home. And that is my PSA. Groove etiquette 101.
That's perfect. Some very, very valuable tips there.
A lot of balance in there as well. Hey? Some of the obvious ones and some of the more sort of, you know, I didn't think about that.
That phone one particularly is a good, people don't think about that.
And also,
like, selfish. They think about their own misery rather than your happiness. How dare they?
And that whole thing about getting white girl drunk. You know, there are actually worse things than white girl drunk. You get other sort of levels, but you know, go into it. That's also the worst. Like, you can't do that anymore.
We're too grown. Like, we are grown. I'm talking to the adults. But if you're still a kid.
Exactly. And then someone's going to look after you. This is the big problem about getting those levels of drunk.
Yeah.
You don't just suddenly go, okay, I'm going to go home. It's like, you can't because you even know what your name is anymore. And that's even worse than losing your phone. You're the biggest downer like that.
Yeah. Don't do that. We're too grown. Yeah. Like, we are too grown for that now.
JP says, I'm taking the whole of next week off, so I will not drink responsibly this weekend. Well, yeah, it's a four-day week next week, and frankly, this is a great time. I wish all our public holidays were in the summer and the spring.
Yeah.
And they landed on either Monday,
Monday or Friday. And like let's really celebrate it. Have Spartan winters.
Dr. Jonathan Witt just sent me a message about doctors in theatre with Crocs. He says he's been in theatre every day for like the last however many years. He's never worn Crocs.
Thank you.
But he says the other day, a drain full of someone's blood spilled, and the guy who was wearing Crocs had feet full of blood.
Yeah, see? There. Yeah.
Rather not. That's bad. That's nasty.
A drain.
That is nasty.
Moral of the story? don't wear Crocs.
But you know, like, what your job must be like when a casual term is a drain full of blood. Like, our casual terms are, I need something to wipe the screen of my laptop. No, no. A drain full of blood is his
like your phone
term.
Cover looks
yeah.
dirty.
Yeah.
What's happening there, Doc? Oh, I just got like pools of blood in my shoes. It's horrible. Oh, man. Elon Chief Twat also forgot it was the long weekend.
Mm.
Yes, it's very important information. This.
We need to grieve correctly.
So did you go for a massage or is this just something that occurred to you?
Well, I generally try to go for massages quite often.
It's a good thing.
Because you're meant to.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you're training, you're doing certain things, you really should. And
if
I just
you
haven't.
Leave it for a very long time, you end up with very bunched up muscles.
So, I mean, look, I've left it a bit too long and then I had these back spasms and like I haven't been able to train for the whole week and I've just felt terrible. Like I've just felt like I've had a handbrake on. Yeah. So there's a spa that, I mean, I go to the spa in Rosebank and I like it. You go there a little bit early, you get in the steam room, you do that kind of stuff, you get in the heated pool, you unwind.
You book off a few hours for this. It's a whole experience. It's like girls whole go like girls go for the spa day, right?
Yes, it's important. Yes, yes. It's really important.
Okay.
And like I've never had a bad treatment there. And even this week, it wasn't a bad treatment. But it started out, I generally always just go for a general half hour to 45 minutes, whatever they've got available. And it's a back, neck, and shoulder massage, right?
Mm-hmm.
The massage started out with this woman standing on me.
But like a little Thai woman?
No. She wasn't Thai. It wasn't a Thai massage. It was a conventional, just massage me massage. But she was on me like a pouncing puma. Like she was going to like spring
she
on.
She hurt you?
No, I mean she was
tiny.
I'm not the smallest guy. I'm not the biggest guy, but she's not exactly huge. But she was on me like a prancing cat. She was all. I could feel her. All fours were on me, and it was a very odd start. And I was thinking, fuck, I've had a bit of a week. You know, have I forgotten? Have I booked something exotic here? I mean, what's going on?
Like, booked the wrong one.
I didn't. I booked the most standard thing you can get. But she was there, and that set the tone for me, which is just a bit odd.
Yeah, that is weird. And it shouldn't start like that.
The thing about a massage is that I need someone to manipulate and press on me and do those things.
Sports massage.
I need someone. I can't do it to myself. So I'm trusting someone to fulfill this for me. But ultimately, it's a stranger touching you.
Mm-hmm.
And the pressure's never the same. It's not standardized. You are never the same. Like sometimes you are receptive to these things. Sometimes you're a little bit tense. And I think this week I was just tense and it was sore and it was cucky.
Hmm.
And then, you know when they take like the towel and they put it like on the top of your butt crack because they need to get those top muscles.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that respectful equator they never push past.
Yeah, if you go beyond the crack.
I had my entire bottom exposed. And again, it doesn't really – it's a massage room, okay? It's just you and this other person. But there's like levels where you go, that's an interesting take. And now I'm lying
but,
there.
But you don't – you don't ever interrupt. Like, I've never.
No, of course you can't. But what's
you
the point?
You never do that.
Yeah, you never say mid massage, hey, like, you can you lower the pressure a little bit or focus on this area rather?
Yeah, you're trying to relax and just breathe.
Even,
and
like, the worst is the legs, right? Because they sometimes they go at the thighs and the calf muscles, which I don't train those as often, but my God, it's sore if they get the, like, particularly the shin. Mm-hmm. They can be mean as hell there. And I just grimace through it. I think, well, you just got to suffer. It's a bit of suffering. We'll bring you relief.
But it's just that I always look at this and I go, and then as soon as something like this happens, I always think back, when last did I actually have a great massage? And then you spend the next 5 minutes going through your mind going, yeah, that was okay. Oh, I don't know about that one. That one actually quite hurt. And then that one was very talkative.
And then you think, what? Why am I doing this again and wasting money?
But
well, because you feel great afterwards.
It does feel, it is worth it. But it's just that it's one of those things that, like, it's a good experience, but at the same time, it's never a great experience. And then you get those people. So I used to go to this guy, okay? And I know this is going to sound very weird, but hear me out. I used to go to this guy who basically looked like an old Steven Seagal, and his solution to everything was just to grease you down, basically, and then just give you a full body. So you can go in there and say, like, I've got a quad strain. And he'll be getting into your neck and down. And then he had like this DIY contraption with a tennis ball, which is basically what they have now as like a commercial thing. But he was a pioneer. And he had this.
Oh, like, yeah, like the massage machine thing.
I mean, I went in there.
Ever been to a physio or chiropractor? They've got that thing with the two handles.
Yeah.
That like vibrates.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a ball, you know, the sander thing?
Oh, yes.
What do they call it? A rotating sander? I can't remember.
Orbital sander.
Orbital, thank you. Yeah. Orbital sander. Looks like that. And that thing goes on your back. And it actually gets itchy after a while. But man, does it loosen everything up. Yeah. Holy shit. So this guy knew his stuff.
So this is the thing. Like, if you go to the same person and you trust someone, maybe this is how you get better. And Derek, if you're listening, it's not that it was like it went badly. It's just that you moved and I couldn't go see you anymore. But maybe that's what it comes down to. But when you go to these chain spas, you don't go, you know, I want, I don't know, Janet to be my regular. Or can you?
You can.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you can.
Some people, they'll find someone who does a really good job and they'll get their name and only go back for that person.
Okay, but this is where it gets weird for me again. Is that when you become a regular with someone, then you've got to talk to them because now they've asked you questions like, what do you do? They see you on a monthly basis. You now have this rapport. And that in itself scares me. So I don't feel like I can win with this massage thing.
Carl says, I'm always relieved when the masseuse is unattractive, so I don't get an accidental erection.
So he's you know, Carl, sometimes you don't even need to make these comments. We're already assuming such things out of you.
Like, yeah.
Rebellious Ruth says, I trained and qualified as a massage professional. I give a great massage, and I first ask where you're sore and what do you need loosened.
Yeah. Mm. So I was told that a good massage, especially if you don't go often, will be a bit painful. Right?
Yeah,
because they have to get out the knots and the stresses and whatnot. But overall, the next day you're going to feel so much more better. But I think there's something in the air because there was a, I would say, TV star. He was like in Rhythm City. Everyone loved him. Prakop, that's his name on the show, went for a massage. And it's something that you're talking about, like where this lady was on him and it just looked dangerous. Looked like
I know someone who went for a massage and ended up with like a paralyzed thing in his hand because she was like screwing up some nerve or something. So he ended up with like a fucked hand.
Wow, that is scary.
That's bad. But I mean, that's very rare that should happen.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm sure there's more to the story than just that bottom line.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, well. Ben, try an Epsom salt bath.
I do those.
The trick is to sit for 40 minutes. The first 20, you detox. The second 20, you absorb the magnesium.
That's a very good point. Right. If you can ever get the water that hot and you can sustain for 40 minutes, wow, then you have skin of Komodo dragon.
Is that, does it dry you out?
Well, think about it. You're in a bath of 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
It's got to be a very, very hot bath to sustain that time period.
Yeah, otherwise it's going to get cold and horrible.
Unless you've got a Roman bath and you get people coming in and out, refreshing the hot water.
See, here's again, a picture. Here's a picture of the massage.
There we go. There was a lot going on in that moment.
I don't know what it is, but Asian women have channeled a whole bunch of aggression over centuries into this practice called massage.
Yeah.
They don't do it because they want to help you. They've got all this like built up
anger, and they're just like, yeah.
You get those little Thai chicks. They absolutely bloxom you. I mean, we're talking Bok Thai 5 here. I remember I went to one in Stanton. Because like, you get those Puri Thai, I think they're called. It's like a Thai chain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll go in there and there'll be a woman, she'll weigh like 55, and she will sort you out.
Turn you into a pretzel.
She will make her limbs work.
Sure.
Yeah, there we go. So that's Ben Bronwyn says, you cold plunge, don't complain about keeping water hot.
No, but I mean, the purpose of that message was Epsom salt bath. That's a hot bath. You don't ever want to be in cold water for the sake of cold water.
No,
you
exactly.
Have a plunge for a plunge.
It's very unpleasant.
Just silly.
Very unpleasant. All right. Well, Shani says, our Bloem Thai spa is the best. I'd rather have that than go to physio. Okay. Bloemfontein, who knew?
Okay.
Maybe that's what you're missing. You have to drive 5 hours to the Free State to get it.
5 hours to the Free State for some... But that's the thing about these Thai women. They're quite industrious. You can find them anywhere.
Yes. You can go it's
to,
amazing.
You can go to any town around.
Anywhere.
Go find one.
You want a massage?
She has escaped something to think this is a better, greener pasture. And she will massage
touching
the crap
touching other
out of you.
People. Yeah. Mm. Imagine that's your job. And someone comes along and you don't get to choose who your customer is. Now you have to touch them.
Yeah, it's always a nice idea, but you know, you have those bad days, and you think it's okay. I'll work from home on my computer. No, you never get to do it. You have to touch people.
Yeah, and people are just so gross.
A lot of them are gross.
Oof. Yeah, there's some gross people. Okay, so this is fun. I got this from Mike Sharman this week, and it made me laugh so much I decided we needed to put it on the show. The idea, it comes from Instagram, and it's a list of 15th century dog names.
Oh.
Okay. What did people call their dogs in the 15th century?
Oh, this sounds amazing.
Yeah, that would be in the 1600s. So here we are.
Duke Theobald the VIII.
No. So here's, for example, garlic.
Oh, wow. Even the
look at the dog there. That's garlic, okay? Spelled without the C in garlic. It's with a K. Crampet.
Wow, these dogs were ugly. Can you imagine what the owners looked like?
These are the dogs, all right? Welly Found.
Oh, wow.
That was a name for a dog in the 1600s. Welly Found. How's that, huh?
They found the welly.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Grimbold.
That's a rat.
Well,
that's not even a dog. That's just a vermin.
Grimbold. Yeah, that's the name.
I guess when you were poor, you would claim everything was a dog.
Here's Norman. Norman's pretty scary. So,
Norman's smile.
Like, Norman's family tree has regrettable moments, if that's the face of Norman.
Norman's family tree has some human DNA, if you ask me. and it says, but best of all, Alberta. It's an unfortunate-looking dog.
Yeah, with no neck.
Yeah, and there's one other. This one's throwing up. It's called Have Good Day, but it's not it's not having a good day.
No.
Have Good Day.
I know these are all artists' impressions, but I still can't get over the fact that wolves
turned into these lap dogs.
Pomeranians, whatever.
Look at this one, Baby. That's what you're talking about.
Oh no, that looks like
these are the creepiest pictures I think I've seen in quite some time.
Those are dogs from the 15th century, Ben. Don't be mean. They're the ancestors of our dogs.
I know how the process kind of works, but how do you go from wolf to that nonsense? I mean, that seems like it's thousands of years, and that's a lot of science.
It's incredible. I was looking at my dog the other day thinking, there's no way that you know you've got wolf in you. There's no way. My dog's this big. She's got no aggression in her at all.
No.
She's like the most terrible watchdog of all time. She just is full of love and bounce and just wants to be around humans all the time. She tears a lot of stuff up in terms of her toys and rips them to shreds.
Because she's got teeth and nothing to do.
Yeah. But she couldn't. She has killed a dove. Mm. But then doves are really stupid.
Yeah, they are. But this happened over a short period of time, in relative speaking. Like, how many years?
No, it's not long. Like, if humans, you couldn't breed humans. You see, it's because dogs don't have very long lives. So you can breed them many, many times during a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And the lifespan is short, so then the next generation you can make the nose longer or shorter. But it's an art. I mean, some people think it's very cruel, actually, in retrospect. But it's an art.
But pardon my crass line of thinking here, but what did the wolf cover first to set this motion in place?
Well, that's it. So there must have been a smaller wolf or a wolf with a mutation, a deformity, a weird characteristic, and they try to keep that characteristic. But it's like thoroughbred racehorses. You try to breed them with superior horses all the time.
Yeah.
So you get the very best kind of horse.
But, I mean, we're going for a recipe here. It's like, where did the Rottweiler come from? Is that a black bear that just wandered off
also happened,
and got
Ben,
cornered?
And they just stuck around.
Sometimes. And then suddenly there was...
Mistakes happened.
Sipi was right. Like, mistakes would have happened along the way, and then they would have tried to keep those mistakes in. Like a short nose or bigger teeth or, you know? And they bred specific dogs for specific purposes. Ricky Gervais does this hilarious skit where he talks about, like, a Rhodesian Ridgeback, which was, I think they were bred to kill lions or something like that.
Ambitious, yeah.
Yeah, and they were handing out.
Idea someone had.
In his joke, he's like, they're handing out all the different dogs' jobs, and you could be a guard dog, and you'd be a lap dog, and a dog, and you must kill lions. And the Rhodesian Ridgeback, like, really? You fucking kidding me? But yeah.
And then how do they get the ridge?
I don't know.
A mistake. See, again, it goes back to what do guys think about. I often look at dogs and I go, how?
Right.
How?
So let's talk to these guys, Andrew and Robert Cunningham. They are in France at the moment. They are massive, massive South African rugby fans. They are living their dreams by following the Springboks around France in an RV, a recreational vehicle, during the World Cup. So they're there at the moment. They're actually online with us right now. Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good. A little bit tired. 7:30 in the morning in France is early after 1 o'clock night at the stadium last night.
I bet.
But it's super cool to be here.
So where in France are you now?
We're in Marseille.
Oh, Marseille. So is that where are we playing on Saturday, Ben?
I don't know.
We're playing soon.
What?
In Paris, yeah.
Paris. So you're going back to Paris from Marseille in your RV?
Yes.
When do you...
We actually left our RV in Lyon, and we caught a four-hour train down to Marseille, and then catch a four-hour train back to Lyon, and then on Saturday morning go through to Paris to support the box.
Very good. Have you seen all the games so far?
Not all the games. We watched everything that we possibly can in stadiums. We've seen four or five games so far, and the rest we've just kind of been watching in bars and interacting with the locals, which has been great fun.
Yeah, we have watched every single Rugby World Cup game in France, just not in the stadiums.
Yeah. Did you have you got a trust fund, or have either of you invented some widget that is worth billions that you've sold that you can do this for a month?
We wish. But what did happen, Gareth, is in 2017, the World
Cup discovered pirate treasure.
We wish. Yeah. In 2017, the World Cup was announced. It was supposed to be in South Africa, and it got taken from us. We were the preferred bidder. Since then, we made a decision to come, and we've been saving up for this once-in-a-lifetime experience. Our kids are all grown up, so this was a once-off thing that we could get to do, and it's been absolutely amazing. The Rugby World Cup in France is just unbelievable.
So what jobs do you guys have that you could take all this time off? And I mean, it sounds like you're doing what most South Africans...
Very lenient ones.
Lenient. Good. So you obviously... Yeah. Are you the bosses, or do you have nice bosses?
Yeah, we got nice bosses.
Wow. Yeah. But what is interesting is we still work while we're here. You know, that whole COVID thing was pretty bad. But the one thing it did do is introduce Zoom. So we do get like 2 to 2.5 hours working every single morning online in meetings and stuff. And then we travel through France and watch the rugby and experience what it's got.
Are you getting drunk every night, or just every night that there's a game?
No. Every morning, every afternoon, every night. No, I'm joking. What's nice about being in an RV and having to travel so much in France, which is just a crazy place to drive in, is you can't have a drink before 4 or 5 o'clock. So we just have to find somewhere to stay. And then we'll crack open a beer and watch the rugby or watch replays of the rugby. Thank goodness.
So here's a Robert Cunningham in the comments. He says, what sorcery is this? You're a different Robert Cunningham, that's all. Yeah, clearly.
This is Rugby Rob.
This is Rugby Rob.
So, Two Brothers in the Box.
Yeah. All right, so your brothers, you've always loved rugby. I mean, the fact that you're doing this, you know, people often try, I'm the biggest fan, and they're not, because you're actually out there doing this, supporting them at every stop. I think it's pretty damn incredible. Are you lifelong Springbok fans? Like, how did it all begin?
Yeah, we watched rugby our whole lives. You know, we've been involved in my dad played rugby, so we're in a rugby club, and we were just always around rugby, and it just grew from there. And then '95 World Cup obviously was a massive, massive moment for most South Africans, and that really kick-started it. And then you'll see in some of our video clips on our Instagram. Yeah.
What
we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, it. No idea what we're doing on it. But
our
Instagram feed is like you said, is Rugby Rob. And I've got a jersey there that has watched every single game. Again, not necessarily in the stadium, but on TV since 1998.
Wow.
And it's looking a little bit ragged.
I'm sure the thing must be threadbare and very smelly by now.
No, it is. It's torn to pieces. But you know what a big thing is for us is like, even for our kids growing up, I mean, our kids are like in their 20s now. Every Saturday was a way for us to get together, watch the rugby, whether it was Province or whether it was the Springboks, have a braai, good family time. So like rugby's been a big center and a part of our life and something to be really proud of as a South African. So,
all right, well,
so I wouldn't say we're the number one fans, but we're pretty close.
No, you can claim to be number one. It's fine.
You're in an RV around France right now. Yeah. That's top that podium at worst.
Okay, so guys, what adventures have you had in France so far? What are the French like? What is it like driving in France? Because I assume you're driving your own RV around. Are they friendly on the roads?
Yeah.
Someone asked in the comments, have you driven around that crazy circle at the Arc de Triomphe in your RV?
No,
but Gareth, you don't need to go to the Arc de Triomphe to see traffic circles. I think France was built before they invented traffic lights or robots, as we call them, because there is thousands. When I say thousands, I mean thousands of traffic circles.
It's their
and
thing.
Google Maps doesn't quite keep up with it. So that's been the... Yeah. It took us 10 days to figure out that you can just, if you miss the turn, just keep going around the circle until you get it right. I think our craziest experience was almost being shot by the Namibian security. When I say shot, they really felt like they were going to do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what's been amazing is like we went and watched the Springboks train at Stade de Mayol in Toulon, and there was thousands of people there supporting them. The amount of South African jerseys in France is unbelievable. How the secret to traveling in France is wear a Springbok top. We've got seven tops.
Really, they like us, huh? They really do like us.
They love us. They absolutely love us. And you know what's amazing? We said it last night, is how this Springbok team, and most probably for the last eight years, have changed the perception of South Africa being the thugs of rugby to South Africa being the absolute gentlemen, innovators. Like, we're literally the second favorite team of everybody here. You want to get through passport control if you're coming to France, wear your Springbok jersey. They're literally like, I picked the suit and stamped our passport and we were through. So it's been amazing. Oh, and also Bucky's Brota is the number one name to mention in France. Whenever we go somewhere, Bucky's.
They love Bucky's.
He played there for a while.
Bucky's Brota.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Ben, you wanted to say something? Sorry.
No, well, Bucky's is a legend. I mean, he played in France.
Yeah.
That was obviously the latter stage of his career as a club player there.
Okay, so they love Ben, that. Go ahead.
Ben, do you know what's amazing? The amount of South Africans who've played in France is insane.
Yeah.
It is literally insane.
Well, club rugby as well, right?
Club rugby specifically. It's very different to South Africa in that we've got like all these layers to get up to kind of provincial rugby. In France, they've got club rugby. And so their clubs are, we were at La Rochelle 2 days ago. It's a 16,000 seater stadium, but they are like two-time Champions Cup winners, coached by Ronan Ogara. It's like huge, huge, huge club rugby in the south of France specifically, not so much in the north.
Well, so that's my impression, is that you get the north and then you get the south. And like, what happens in the middle? Do they just farm?
Yeah. Listen, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of like just grapes, cathedral, Abbey, grapes, cathedral, Abbey,
right.
And that's it. The whole way in between.
Yeah.
However, we were in Bordeaux, and they must have the most beautiful stadium we've ever seen in our entire life. I mean, it's obviously a football stadium. All of the games here played at the football stadiums, not really at the rugby stadiums, and it was spectacular. Bordeaux was like unbelievable. And as beer drinkers, we had a little bit of wine, but only a little bit.
Yeah, I don't believe you for a second there.
So I always get the impression that rugby fans are probably nicer people than football fans because there's less violence and that kind of stuff. So if I were to choose between the two, I think doing it you guys is a much better investment than doing a FIFA World Cup.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, so what have been some of the greatest nationalities of fans that you've met so far?
Us.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we went to, our first game was the Scotland game. They were legends. They were really good. All dressed up in their kilts and up and down the stairs, and you gotta be careful, you know, where you place your eyes. everybody's just been legends.
Yeah.
It's been really great.
Who are the most unpleasant people that you've encountered from
nobody,
which
game?
Don't talk
nonsense. Likes the English here.
Nobody likes the English. Okay.
Nobody likes the English. What I must say is, so we were at the France game last night, and any perception, any belief I had about the French people and what you've been told and stuff is just so untrue. The French are last night, that stadium was insane. That crowd support and super welcoming, super friendly. I was really surprised at how welcoming the French actually were. Everything that you hear.
Because Yonder says in the comments here, the French are not to be trusted. They are not friendly at all. That is many people's experience. Yeah.
You have to wear a Springbok jersey. That's the secret to traveling in France.
It's like a red rag to a bull. I mean, they get completely mesmerized by the Springbok thing and they treat you like a human being.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But also, like, rugby is an extended brotherhood like that. So if you play rugby, then you're seen in a certain light. If you support rugby, same thing. It is a special sport in that regard.
Yeah, Ben, we spoke to a lot of French people yesterday, and there was also that football-rugby divide. And they said they couldn't do what we were doing at the football.
Yep.
You couldn't wear your Springbok top, which we wore, to a football game, or if you're a club thing, like, you can't do it. There's too much, animosity between
them.
It's
odd. It's quite tribal. I mean, it's a very odd way of going about it, but it also goes back a lot more generations than rugby. Rugby is still relatively new. You think the first World Cup was 1987. Like, football has been determining battle lines since they stopped battling.
Right. I'm also curious. I watch some of the games on Supersport, and you see all these fans in between. Are there a lot of other South Africans around?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what's it's sad, but it's also really cool, is we've met hundreds upon hundreds of South African supporters. Very few still reside in South Africa. We've met people from Oman.
They're the only ones who could afford it.
Yeah. Yes.
Because Cyril hasn't fucked up their currency.
They didn't buy us a beer in there with their euros. We had to pay for them in rand.
Very greedy of them, I think.
Yeah. Poor Dad, just on the cost thing, something that quite surprised us actually is, like, what costs a lot here.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, being in a camper van, it's a cheaper way to do it. We only eat local, so we don't go to fancy restaurants. We either cook in the van or we go to a dodgy dive bar. Mm-hmm. And we've been pleasantly surprised at how cheap those kind of places are. Imagine it's like going to Cape Town or going to some small little town.
I'm not surprised. Those French are wily people. They know. We will charge you very much money on the main street, but on the side streets, we will be cheap for the French.
Yes. I think it was €8 a beer in the stadium, and in our campsite, I think it was €2 for big draft.
So. Okay, well, no, you're on your own then.
€2 for big draft. Can't fight that, though, guys.
Yeah, even that hurts, but €2
for a draft. You can't even get that here.
Yeah,
I mean, is it decent beer, or is it like locally made by some woman with warts on her hands and spells in her hair?
What's on it?
Yeah, you come try my beer. Eat some gypsy lager.
Yeah. Oh, did we tell you we had our bike stolen?
No. That sounds like something should happen in Johannesburg.
So
we come all the way to get our bike stolen.
I ride bike, and I've never had my bike stolen. But we went to the Stade Mayol early in the morning, came back, our bikes were gone. Well, my bike was gone, his was still there. But we stayed and watched the Springboks train before we went to the police station for 3.5 hours, by the way. So anything that you think is like works, it's not the same here.
Yeah. And there was only three people in there. So it's not like it was really busy.
we had a one
fingered typist, and it took him 3 hours to type out our report.
Yeah, he didn't understand English. No.
Sounds like Inspector Clouseau's people.
Yeah.
I like it. Listen, guys, good luck for the weekend to all of us, but I hope you'll be there brandishing the color. Just what do you think of that away kit that they made them wear? Shit, right?
Do you know it's because Bill Bowman's colorblind. He's literally the head of rugby is colorblind.
But it's because he wants PR. Have you guys not noticed that he's been colored by his whole life, right? Why in 2023 does he now give a shit? It's all PR. He's on his way out. People don't like him. When he gave that speech in Paris, he was getting booed. So he's got to have these little trinkets on the side to go, no, guys, look, I'm really changing rugby for the better. It's 2023, dude. You're 107 years old.
Who is this guy?
he's like the Sepp Blatter of world rugby.
Oh, really? Yeah. What's his name?
But Gareth, on the jersey, like, when it first came out, like, we were upset, eh? Like, we are green and gold through and through.
Yeah, of course. You didn't have that rubbish thing in your bag.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we won't buy one of those. But when the Springbok pulls on the top, it doesn't matter what the color is. It matters what's on the heart and on the sleeve. And those guys will go to war for us and for South Africa. So the jersey's irrelevant. We're going to win this World Cup.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think you're just nice guys. I tell you what, you know, there's a post on their Instagram feed where it's them and Faf de Klerk. And this is what made me sad. When you play for the Box, you want to keep your jerseys. There's different milestones, right? Mm-hmm. And when you play for your 50th game, you run out in front of the whole team. It's a milestone moment. Poor Faf's 50th was in that shitty jersey.
That's
what commemorates his 50th is that jersey. He couldn't even have his 50th in the green and gold.
That's awesome.
So cool story about Faf. He wanted to, somebody asked him for his jersey from the stands.
We were standing next to him when it happened.
Yeah. Asked him for his jersey from the stands. He says, man, I can't give you this jersey. It's my 50th. And he probably took off his shorts and gave him his shorts. So that's the commitment. Yeah.
And what, walked around in his underpants?
Yeah, again.
He seems to like doing that.
Sure.
All right, gentlemen, thank you. And good luck to all of us for Saturday. I think this is terrific. And I don't want to know what that RV smells like after you've been cooking in there and drinking your beers. And
gypsy beers.
with your stinky old rugby shirts.
Can I say one last thing?
Go ahead.
I've got an amazing wife that's allowed us to do this. And today is her birthday.
Wow, you guys, that's really amazing. You know what, your wife is special, man. I mean, Simpiwe, how many men will be allowed to miss their wife's birthday to go and watch rugby in France?
One.
And she's staying here, she's looking after everything while you're away?
Obviously
they've been good oaks to this point where it's reciprocal. This is what happens in life, guys. Be nice to everybody because there'll be a time when you want to be.
Yeah, you want to take a little bit of advantage. Exactly. Okay, well, what's her name?
Kate
Cunningham.
Happy birthday, Kate. There we go. That's lovely. Yeah. All right. Very, very nice.
Enjoy, guys.
Cheers, you two. Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys. Bye. Thanks so much, man.
Cool. Well, there we go. There's some proper Box supporters. Mm. Proper.
I always love seeing it because they didn't just have an idea after a couple of beers. They actually put it into place, and there they are.
What is it, 2017?
You've got to do these kind of things in life because it's so important. And like we have the Springboks to celebrate, right? You've got to make these things happen. If you're living in Estonia, you don't have anyone to support. You got no one to make a plan for. We've got stuff to celebrate.
Estonia. What was it that guy who came in a while ago and told us about Moldova?
Well, yeah, remember the wine Moldova? Storage, otherwise, it's terrible.
They've got a huge cavern of wine storage. But otherwise, there's nothing in Moldova.
Just sadness.
It's just sadness piled upon sadness. It makes everything look better in South Africa. At least we've got some vibrancy.
We've got things we want to get behind. It's great.
100% right. Okay, quickly, before Borge comes on, we've got another of the Simpiwe's theories, but I'm actually terrified to even go there.
Oh, yes. I've done away with the
she
stats.
Accesses her show
she's
notes
got,
again.
She's got her notes. Okay, let's go, Simpiwe. Let's hear it.
Okay, so apparently there's a holiday deadly sins theory out there in the world. I don't know if you guys...
Holiday deadly sins. By the way, somebody loves the fact that you said it's groove season.
It is, though.
So there's somebody who wants to keep that title, groove season. All right, but tell us about holiday deadly sins.
So there's a theory that some of the public holidays that we celebrate actually... are the seven deadly sins.
I wouldn't be surprised.
In the Bible. So we'll start with Valentine's Day, which I think is the easiest one. It's the sin of lust.
Lust.
Okay.
Yes.
Then we have Thanksgiving, which is not something we celebrate as South Africans, but hey.
That's gluttony, right?
Yeah, boy.
Okay, I'm on
okay
the
let's go. Christmas. You want to take a guess?
Greed.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, really?
Overconsumption.
Okay.
Yeah, boy. Then, okay.
I'm waiting for sloth.
Easter.
Easter sloth.
St. Patrick's Day?
Sloth.
Yeah, boy.
Is that sloth?
Yes, it is. There you go.
All those big Guinnesses and eating pies. And
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then Easter would be?
Pride.
No. It would be envy because the Romans were jealous of Jesus.
Who came up with this? This is another bullshit thing. Is that all of them?
No.
There's still two.
Two left. We have Halloween, which I think is...
That's just wickedness. Generally What are the okay? We're missing the only two ones we're missing is Pride and Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
So would Halloween be Wrath?
Yes.
Yeah.
Day of Vengeance, when people just want to be, you know.
And what's Pride? Heritage Day.
No, Independence Day.
Okay. This is nonsense. American. I mean, most of those are, in any case, Christian holidays. So.
Yeah,
what the hell?
I mean, but you know how these things work, Gareth. It's like stats. You can manipulate them any way.
Such
nonsense. So that's the theory. That is the theory.
Slippery Pickle says the worst holiday sin is to poo in a cartridge that you then have to empty later.
Yeah, man. No.
Who does that? Who does that?
Where were the steps that got us to that message?
A cartridge. Also, what kind of a cartridge? What, okay, like a,
how is this a holiday?
How did we?
Slippery Pickle, you sick bastard. The hell's that all about?
When did we get here?
My God. And of course, no, Pride should be what, like gay pride. That's the obvious one, right?
No.
Yes. If it's Pride, it's even got the name in it. SIM card in these lists, says Carl. It's like living in a cheap version of Cosmopolitan magazine.
I mean, people have stopped reading magazines, so you still need to get the info.
Well, we know what kind of people used to write for those magazines. SIM Pure. Is that what you used to do before you worked here? Back in the days when Cosmo was still an actual magazine. What magazines are still around, by the way?
Men's Health still works.
Is it still a thing?
That's still a thing. It kind of came back after a hiatus. I think if you're Afrikaans, you still do magazines for like going away. Weg. I think it's just called that.
That really?
I'm sure there's caravan magazines.
Those people wouldn't go online.
I think Farmers still have Farmers Weekly.
Yes, Farmers Weekly.
Is that a thing?
That's a big thing.
Mm.
Okay, better question. When last did you buy a magazine?
No. I used to be a regular subscriber to two. It's so nerdy. I used to buy Architectural Digest.
Well, oh, wow. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I mean, they had really, it was very, very interesting. And I loved the pictures. It was all good. And the other one was Vanity Fair, because they had, again, just beautiful articles and great pictures. And,
yeah, pre-work it
became very woke, and then I decided I don't need to be lectured every time I'm spending money. I'm not going to have you tell me constantly things that are just not true and that I can't believe, and no, I'm not going to buy this anymore. So now I don't. Richard says Popular Mechanics is still there.
That's still going, yeah.
Heisgenoot is still a thing.
That's the thing.
I'd love to know what their numbers are. Because old tunnies die, right? Mm. Which means you've got to be creating new old tunnies to buy those magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, but if you've ever seen like small town Afrikaans women of a certain age, they turn into tunnies very quickly.
Is it though?
Yeah.
Because I think
Is it? Yeah, it is.
But what art do?
Is You Magazine and Drum still a thing?
Oh.
Well, I would imagine, because if you're going to use the paper for a Heisgenoot, might as well make a U.
But then is it still the like same content? Like in the beginning, it was like...
It's probably exactly the same.
It's exactly the same. I've got to go grocery shopping later. I'll take a picture of a Heisgenoot and I'll put it on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's see what the head...
It'll be the same cuck. It's something about a royal. Harry Styles is boning something, someone. And then there'll be something about a woman's
grief. It's still like celebrity gossip with...
Yeah.
And then like horoscopes somewhere
some
at the end.
Some ex-rugby player has... broken the heart of some ex-fucking singer. Guys, it's going to happen. I'll take a pic and we can verify.
Yeah, let's look at this later. We'll compare notes on Instagram.
Heisgenoot predictions.
I think those three that you just mentioned, spot on.
Yo.
Spot on. And then I'll have like a section of agony auntie stuff where someone will write in and say, my husband left me for a younger woman. How should I deal with this?
Yeah, I mean, look, no one ever looks inside. It's all about that cover. And I always think, I know it's unfortunate.
And the middle, where it gives you the TV programs for the next week of what's...
But who watches that?
Star signs, that's going to be a biggie.
Astrology is always a biggie. Yeah,
that's always
bound
at
to
the
be
end, though.
But I've always loved a Heisgenoot. Like, you see that chick whose mother brought her up to be a wife. Mm. And she married some rugby player, and there's this look of absolute disbelief, like, I can't believe he cheated on me. It's like, jeepers, you're dumb. This is going to be a tough road from here, because your plan A was to marry an oak that was going to cheat on you. I mean, read the tea leaves here.
I can't believe it.
He was such a sweet and committed oak.
I can't believe it.
And then I mean, I didn't know where it came from. He was on tour for 8 months of the year. I mean, I didn't know where it came from.
And he used to call me every day. Like, I understand where she's coming from. Homegirl was like, I got calls every day. I was taken care of. He told me he loved me.
Peter was only in Japan for 8 months and he used to send me pictures of what Tokyo looked like in the spring.
Yeah, I always wondered why he never sent me pictures of the team. Yeah, you know, there's always selfies.
It's like, ladies, know what you're getting here. It's like, again, it goes back to those mobsters with the Gamas and stuff. It's like, they're playing away games, like literally in every...
Oh, wow. All right, let's get to George. Look, George is in his car. This is great. Look at him. Hello, Borge.
Oh, there he is.
That's nice.
Hello, team. On character. How's it going? Hello, Ben.
How are George? You?
All right, and you?
Good. Where are you off to?
I was off to your studio, but Santon traffic just doesn't allow it.
Well, you know what's great is, like, you're our car guy and you're in the car, so it's entirely appropriate. That is some mean sunroof you've got going there, George.
Well, it's an electric car, Gareth, and most of them come with panoramic glass roofs. It's not a sunroof.
Oh. Mm. And is it fully electric?
Yes, it's my iPace.
Oh, very good. It looks very good inside. I haven't seen one of those inside before, so this is very exciting for us. Yeah. All right, so, George, we've got a couple of stories here, and I've got some pictures too. Let's just, I think you've mentioned this to us before, this thing about these people who leave all these cars in Dubai and places like that, they just abandon these, like, supercars.
So try to do some digging on why. And it turns out that Lamborghini that you've got there, that one was just found randomly parked somewhere. It's a 1980 Lamborghini Countach, which
horrible.
Is kind of an iconic Lamborghini.
Countach.
What happens is apparently Dubai has very strict laws when it comes to debt.
Oh.
And if you don't pay your debt, you could actually go to jail.
I love how there's a casual Rolls Royce just behind it.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. And that's quite something. But so is this like in some yard where people have just left it for years and that's desert sand?
Yes, that's just desert sand. And the thing is, because you can go to jail for not paying your debt in Dubai, people abandon their cars, abandon the country, and just leave.
Hmm. Wow, I suppose like you got your use out of it. Who wants a Countach these days? What do you think that would sell for?
That's a classic car, Gareth. That thing really? is very expensive. Yeah,
yeah. I don't
Lamborghini Countach is.
That's a good one.
But George, I mean, I would imagine this is a unique story. Like if the guy had like a current Lamborghini, that's a debt issue.
Yeah.
To kind of have this,
no, true.
This might be.
Do you think people are buying Lamborghinis?
I mean, like someone's, this is a very unique car to have in a place that's only like 5 years old.
I want to know what happened to that car. I want to know what happened to the driver of that car. Like why he had to run away in a hurry. That's the story.
That would be
an
amazing TV show.
Yeah, doing it again. That's the story. About what could have happened.
You can call the TV show Speedy Getaways.
Yeah.
Just people who've left supercars in Dubai. What's their backstory?
Absolutely.
And you track them down like in Moldova where they're hiding, creating debt somewhere else and you interrogate them.
You're like, hey, Christos. What? Why are you here? We found your Lamborghini. Oh, shit.
Where?
And then you extradite them, basically. Oh, that'd be great.
Punish them. Make them clean the car, well, first of all.
This car's worth about 10 million rand.
Yeah.
So about $500,000.
Yeah.
And how damaged do you think it is after lying in the sand and sun for as long as that?
Well, I mean, you could see it's covered in sand. So I would imagine there's some kind of protection. It would be sun damage. I mean, that would be the biggest thing that would be wrong with that car is sun damage. I reckon the engine is probably working perfectly well. You know, you could probably restore that car quite easily.
The tires don't look so great either, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, that would be sun damage. The rubber would get seriously damaged.
You reckon that car's but been there? Do you think it's been there since the 80s?
Nah, I doubt that.
Okay.
I doubt that. I mean, they wouldn't have only found it now.
That was brought over with Russian prostitutes.
So
same boat.
Congo Chris says you need a shoehorn and 3 liters of Vaseline to get into a Countach. You think that's right?
Yeah, well, yes and no, Congo Chris. Remember, the Lamborghini has the gull wing doors, so it gets out of your way when you open the door.
And Jackson says what George is saying is true. I know someone who took out a 400,000 rand loan, couldn't pay it back, and left the country. The moment they set foot in any Gulf country, they'll be arrested.
Yep. Wow. Yeah, apparently it's a big thing.
All right. Well, there we go. Don't get arrested in those countries. That's the way we want to keep ourselves. Thank you.
Or don't go into debt.
Yeah, rather don't buy things you can't afford. How about that?
Yeah, that too.
That's an age-old piece of wisdom. What else you got for us, George?
And then there's a guy that built a Lego a train track around his house.
Yay.
Around his entire house. 120 meters of train track he built. And after the video went viral, apparently his dogs weren't very impressed, but this video went viral after Christmas. But he built a little train track. I mean, it's not even one of those big ones.
Yeah.
It's a little train.
Listen, there are grown men. This is their favorite thing. There are like train, what do you call them? Enthusiasts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's this one guy I follow just because he's hilarious on Instagram. He has this camera right on his head and he gets like super excited when trains come down the track. He knows all of them, their specifications, everything. And a guy like that, I wouldn't be surprised if his whole house is just train tracks everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I mean, aren't you fascinated by the guys that build these little war scenes from maybe someone's built one with the Roman war with the figurines and they paint them?
There's Rome. You had to bring up Rome. I mean, you can't have a show without Rome. No, seriously. You got to see this guy. He's incredible. This dude with the train obsession. Look at him. Here he is. I'm just gonna.
Oh wow.
And he puts the camera like right on his head. He's hilarious.
Yeah, that's amazing to be so passionate about that.
He loves trains so much. So I wouldn't be surprised if that guy spends all of his money going around the country trying to find trains and then building train sets.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then, Gareth, very finally, the trivia. So we've had 8 shows with trivia on it,
mm-hmm.
and the scoreboard is as follows.
Yes.
With Simpiwe, who has 9 points.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So far. And Gareth has a whopping 17 points.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
wow. Jeez, Simpiwe, you're not even trying.
That's good. I'm not even double Simpiwe, though, so I really could do better.
Oh.
Ben has 2 points, but to be fair, he only joined us for 2 of the 8 shows.
So yeah, exactly.
If you extrapolate that out, 4 times 2, which means he would have about 8 points, he would be neck and neck with some period.
Well, okay, yeah.
he's not accepting that. He says that's a bullshit way to work things out, George. All right, very good. We're not going to are we going to do a quiz this week?
Yes,
we are. Okay, let's go.
First question, Who is the most successful Formula One driver in history?
I got Lewis Hamilton. Michael Schumacher.
Simpiwe?
Oh, Ayrton Senna. What about him?
No.
Go on, Simpiwe. You don't know. Simpiwe has no answer for this question.
Formula One?
Nigel Mansell.
Say Nigel Mansell, Simpiwe.
Ben?
Yeah, I said Lewis Hamilton.
Ben is right. Lewis Hamilton, 103 wins.
Damn it.
You were almost right, Gareth. Michael Schumacher has got 91 wins.
Yeah, and one major loss against a tree.
That was a rock.
A rock. Okay, well. Well, what's the next one, George?
What was the first car to beat the 300 mile per hour land speed record?
300.
This is tough. This is a tough one.
Can you give us a clue? 300
miles per hour, 482 kilometers per hour. And I think it might be what you're thinking about. Its second name starts with a C.
No, I was going to go with something else. I thought immediately of those. Are you talking about like an ordinary car?
Like a brand. So if I said like a Bugatti.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Ordinary supercar.
It's not a Countach that starts with C. They weren't that dynamic.
Damn it. Is it maybe a Porsche?
No, you almost said it there, Gareth.
Someone in the comments, K&Ace is a Ford Cortina.
down your own payday.
Damn it, man.
All right, well, nobody's got any points. The Bugatti Chiron.
Chiron.
Okay, all right.
The Bugatti
Chiron. No points. I'm not interested. Then, let's move on.
What was the world's first pickup truck? What car...
Ford
company made the world's first pickup. There we go.
It's got to be a Ford.
Point. Ford.
Yeah. Americans. There we go. 1 point for me. Thank you.
Based on the second question, which company owns the brand Bugatti?
VW, Volkswagen.
VW. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. 1 point for Ben.
VW.
Well, I mean, there was a rumor that VW were going to get into F1, but instead they put that money into making the Bugatti Veyron. Because they wanted to show as a feat of engineering just what's possible.
Well,
by having two V8s strapped together to make this amazing.
It's basically like a rocket ship.
Yeah.
That's what that is. All right. Any more questions? Or is Ben going to win with
one
two?
One more. What car was awarded World Car of the Year title in 2021?
Ford Ranger.
2021?
No, it wasn't. Wasn't that for 2022? Ford Ranger?
World Car of the Year 2021. It's during COVID, so it's probably going to be a bicycle.
Then? Yeah, George, it was during COVID. Oh, George has disappeared.
I don't there think- we go. I'm back.
Oh, you're back. I think you left because you don't know the answer. What is it? George is gone. He doesn't know this answer.
He just froze.
Let's see what's in the comments here, because usually someone in the comments get these. Bajaj, says Elon. Nissan Micra, says someone else.
Tesla.
The Bajaj Veyron.
Tesla's a good guess because...
Yaris.
A Toyota Yaris, please. Ooh. Here we go.
No, like, so World Car of the Year.
Yeah.
World Car of the Year.
Yeah.
So it's... It's global. It's very, very... That is different.
Well, we're going to keep guessing until next week.
Yes.
It's now 8:03. We're out of time. George
created this cliffhanger.
George has left. Yeah, he's left us on the edge. All right, Ben, we'll check in with you in Rome next week.
Yes.
Very exciting.
See.
Good luck to the Bucks on Saturday and to everybody else who is supporting them. Oh, here's George. Let's just. Are you going to leave us the cliffhanger or are you going to give us the answer for that last question?
So the answer is the Toyota Yaris.
Oh, so V Rus got it right.
Wow.
You Googled it, though. That's not... We're not allowed to Google. Right, George? All right, George, bye. We can't... George is... he's trying his best. He's in the traffic. We had an almost 100% record and just right at the end. You know? That's what happens when you have Yaris as an answer to a question, I suppose. Even the internet was embarrassed by that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. We will see you on Monday. Have an awesome... Well, no. Tuesday. Monday's a holiday. We'll see you in the next week. Excellent stuff. Thanks, everybody. Cheers. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.